Hope everyone had a wonderful Purim. Was hopefully joyous and fun. And hope all those things went well. Okay, this evening we are going to study chapter 15, Perek Tedvav, of the Book of Kings, Kings 1, Perek Tedvav. And again, just to set the scene where we're up to, at the end of chapter 15, at the end of chapter 14, excuse me, chapter 14 was all about the main part of it was communicating to Yerav'am, that ultimately his reign would come to an end and his dynasty would not last for a long time because of the sins of introducing new religion into the northern kingdom. And not only the fact that what he did, which was with the sanction of God, which was to create another political center, but also against the wishes of God, he also created another religious center. So he was stripped ultimately of his melucha, his confrontation with Achia, the very prophet who had ordained him, now strips him ultimately and gives him a nevuah of the future that ultimately he will be divested of his kingship, of his dynasty. And the last part of Perek Yudalid was about Rechav'am. And if you look in chapter 14, the Bible tells us Rechav'am was king for 17 years. And unfortunately, he was not a good king. Rechav'am, not only the way that he started his melucha, the way he started his reign, which ultimately exacerbated all the tensions that already existed between the northern tribes and the southern tribes, which ultimately led to the physical split and schism. But the Bible tells us in chapter 14, verse 22, Vayas Yehuda hara b'nei Hashem, v'yikanu oto mikol asher asu avotam b'chatotam asher chatau. So Judah, during his day, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And vayivnu gam hem alahem bamot u'matzevot va'asherim al kol givah gvoha v'tachat kol eitz ra'anan. And they built bamot, which is kind of standard for the biblical period, that they built these altars in which they offered to God, which undermined Jerusalem. But in addition, they also built asherim, which was real idolatry. And there was also prostitution, v'gam kadesh haya ba'aretz, k'chol ha'toevot ha'goyim. So you have a very negative picture. And for the Book of Kings, the greatest avera that's most central to the bringing down is the bamot and the avodah zarah. That's kind of the central sin in the Book of Kings, as opposed to, let's say, in the Book of Divrei Hayamim, the Book of Chronicles. Idolatry does not play as central a role in its critique, but it's much more about the centrality of the temple and what you do to help the temple or undermine the temple, what you do to support the temple and the Davidic line and the Kohanim and the people in the temple. So it's very, very different feel in terms of what gets under the gander of the author. So for the way the Sefer Melachim presents the Rechav'am, the son of Solomon, it's very, very negative. And on the heels of that, the Bible tells us about the attack of Shishak, which we talked about. That was the end of the shiur last week. So basically you have to read it as a kind of sin and punishment. The attack of Shishak, even though, on a political level, Shishak probably had his own agenda why he invaded the kingdom. And as I mentioned last week, if you look in the external biblical sources, you see that Shishak, more than he attacked Judah, many of the cities that he captured in Eretz Yisrael were actually in the north, and his invasion went up into the north. But The Book of Kings is not interested in presenting a full historical account of what happened with the attack of Shishak and all the various cities. It's only interested in the connection that this king is kind of seen as a kind of punishment for all that Rehoboam had done. And so in the fifth year, Shishak attacks Jerusalem and he despoils the temple. Vayikach et otzrot Beit Hashem, v'totzrot Beit HaMelech, v'takol lakach, vayikach et kol megini hazahav, aser asher Shlomo. So again, the despoiling of Jerusalem and the temple is seen as, again, at least by the juxtaposition, is the only thing that the Book of Kings is interested in. The only thing is that Rehoboam had committed such a terrible crime of allowing Avodah Zarah and encouraging Avodah Zarah, so that in a certain sense, that's what brought the destruction and the beginning of the despoiling of the temple because of all of the Avodah Zarah. We now come to chapter 15. And chapter 15 adds to us other dimensions. And basically, and again, focuses on what it chooses to focus on. And what I'd like to do tonight is read chapter 15 and just get a little bit of the chronology and the events clear in our mind. Because here we're getting to where sometimes things get a little unclear. The names get a little unclear, etc. So we're going to just clarify some of the things. And we're also going to highlight the differences between the presentation and the Book of Kings and the Book of Divrei Hayamim and the Book of Chronicles, because it is so interesting. So let's first read the presentation in the Book of Kings. And the Book of Kings emphasizes the reality of a civil war. So the Bible tells us in chapter 15, verse 1, I just go, Ubishnat Shmon Esrei Lamelech Yeravam ben Nevad, in the 18th year, Malach Aviyam al Yehuda. So Aviyam, which is again a theosophic name, in the Book of Chronicles, he's called Aviyah, which is the same name of the son of Yeravam. If you remember, go back to the beginning of chapter 14, Ba'etahi Chala Aviyah ben Yeravam. And here, Ubishnat Shmon Esrei Lamelech Yeravam, Malach Aviyam al Yehuda. Aviyam was the son of Rehoboam. In the Book of Chronicles, he's called Aviyam. Maybe they dafka don't use that same name here, not to confuse us, because there were two Aviyahs who lived at the same time. Who knows why? But the fact is, you have this character, Aviyam Melech Yehuda, number one. Number two, we're told that he only reigned 3 years. Shalosh Shani Malach Bishlaim, V'shem Yimo Ma'acha Bat Avi Shalom. Which, of course, is very negative. The fact that he only reigns 3 years, again, whenever you reign for a short time, either one of two things is happening in the Book of Kings. Either it's because you've been deposed in some sort of coup, or because you are not worthy to continue to be the king, either for sin or for some other reasons. And the Bible makes it very clear. Vayelech b'chol chatot aviv asher asa lefanav, v'lo haya levavo shalim im Hashem elokav, ki levav David aviv. And he was not like his father, ultimately his great-grandfather David. Ki leman David natan Hashem elokav lo nir b'Yerushalayim lakim et bino acharav, lamid et Yerushalayim. Asher asa David et hayashar b'nei Hashem, v'lo sar mikol asher tzivav kolim echavav, rak bidvar Uriah chita. So the Bible tells us that, Aviyam had no real zechut on his own. It was a zechut avot. It was simply the merit of the fathers, because God had promised that David would retain control of Jerusalem and control of part of the country. So therefore, Rehoboam and Yeravam and all these and Aviyam were entitled to their malucha, but not on their own merit. So that's number one. Number one, so we have a presentation in the Book of Kings of Rehoboam and Aviyam / Aviyah as very negative characters. And again, because in terms of the litmus test of the Book of Kings, which is idolatry, they failed. They did not get rid of the idolatry. They encouraged, and they supported, and they didn't get rid of the Bamot and they allowed for the asherot and all the other things. And that's the statement in verse 3. Number 2, we're told about civil war. Verse 6. Umilchama hayta ben Rechavam uben Rehavam kol yimei chayav. V'yeter divrei Aviyam v'chol asher asah. Haloheim k'tuvim al sefer divrei Amim u'malchei Yehuda. Umilchama hayta ben Aviyam uben Rehavam. V'yishkav Aviyam im avotav v'yikru oto b'yir David. V'yimloch asah b'no tachtav. So the Bible makes it very clear that there was ongoing war between Yerav'am and Aviyam / Aviyah. Now, there is no details given in the Book of Kings about the wars. There is no details, and there is no, as I said, there is no sense that he is a positive character in any way, this Aviyah, Aviyam. If we compare it and contrast it to the book of Divrei Hayamim, and that's why I'd like to put it on the screen so it's even clear, so you can even compare. So let me get that. Let's see if I can put it on the screen. Let me go back to my Zoom for a second. Make this small. Okay, let's see if I can share my screen. I can put that up. Yeah. I can share. So if I put this and I'll move this here. So if I put, this is in Sefer Kings. Let me make this small. And if I put the book of Chronicles up, and I turn to Divrei Yamim again, Bet, Divrei Yamim Aleph only goes up to David HaMelech and the beginning of Shlomo. So every king after that is always going to be in Divrei Yamim Bet. So if I turn to Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Yud Gimel, I'm sorry?
Please tell it in English, and I'll go to Chronicles where you are. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry? Chronicles 2, chapter 13.
Thank you.
So if you go to Divrei Yamim, Chronicles 2, chapter 13, there we have a very different picture. And again, it's driven by the purpose of each book. And again, you have to read each book as supplementary to each one. We get all the information when we put the two together, and also when we have any extra biblical evidence as well. And again, it reflects the different agendas of the book. As I said, the Book of Kings makes it clear that Rehavam and Aviyam are not good characters. They fail in the basic litmus test about idolatry. But here in the book of Divrei Hayamim, we have a very different picture. So the text tells us in the 18th year, Lamelech Yeravam, Vaimloch Avi al Yehuda, Shaloshani Malach Rishalim, Vashemi Mo Michayau, etc. Umilchama Aita Ben Aviyah Ben Yeravam. There was a great war between Aviyah and Yeravam. Vayesor Aviyah Tamilchama, Vichayel Gibor Milchama, Arbameot Elef Ish Bachur. Again, whether you take the numbers as real or whether they are exaggerated numbers, as is common in many presentations of biblical battles and in the ancient world, it's still significant. 400,000 go to war. The Yeravam Amachimo b'shmonat meot elef ish bachur gibor chayil. So he has twice the number of soldiers because he has many more shvatim, many more tribes. Vayakam Avia me'al hart smarim asher b'har Efron. Now we have a narrative that is entirely absent from the Book of Kings. Avia gets up and gives a speech in Hart Smarim, which is in Ephraim, which means that the battle line, the battle, the front, has gone into the north. He has maybe captured territory, And he's in Har Ephraim. Har Ephraim is, you know, is probably somewhere in today in Samaria, in the Shomron. And as many, many kings of the time, he decides to give a speech. Now, the Bible records many speeches of kings. Sometimes the speeches are given to their own soldiers, pep talks. The Bible talks about, for example, a Kohen, that there was a priest who was appointed, was called the Mashuach Milchama, was anointed to serve as a kind of cheerleader to encourage the people to go to battle and understand what they were fighting for and to fight, so to speak, the wars of the Lord. Here, other speeches in the Bible are often presented as what we would call propaganda to destroy the morale of the opposing forces. And so, for example, the famous, you know, the confrontation between David and Goliath, David and Goliath, David and Goliath, where Goliath gives a whole series of speeches, you know, mocking Israel, mocking David, mocking the Jewish people, the Israelites, as not worthy to go into battle, and they, you know, etc. And we know the speech later on in the Bible when, you know, the kings, the messengers of Assyria come to Jerusalem and mock the soldiers of Hizkiyahu. And basically it's to undermine the morale, and basically to convey a message about what they believe is going to happen. And what's so, again, it's very interesting. Here too, he comes and he gives a speech. But the speech also has within it not only the morale undermining purpose, but also it's a theological speech. The book of Chronicles allows, puts in the mouth of Avia a statement about the perspective that he's projecting, and the way that ultimately emerges about this character, Avia, who in Malachim, in the King Book of Kings, is said, as I said, gets very little airtime, and in fact, it's very negative airtime. Here, it's totally different. Vayomer, he says, Shma'uni Yeravam b'chol Yisrael. Listen, Yeravam. Now, notice, interestingly enough, there's no legitimacy granted to Yeravam as Melech. He does not call him a king. He says, Yeravam and all of Israel. This is the opening shot, which is really foreshadowing the fact that in this entire speech, it's going to be about being, as we say in Hebrew, lezalzel, to mock and undermine the authority of Yeravam and the legitimacy of his kingship and of his kingdom. Halo lachem ladat, you should know, ki Hashem Elohei Yisrael natan mamlecha leDavid Yisrael leolam lo ulevanav brit melach. So he makes a very absolutist claim, where he basically says, there's not, the only legitimate kingdom is the kingdom that God made with David. God gave David a mamlacha, le'olam, forever, lo ulabanav brit melach, a covenant of salt. Salt in the ancient world was often, you know, seen as the symbol of stability and long lastingness, because salt is a preservative and salt lasts for a very long, long time. So it's a covenant. Notice there's no mention. Yes, it's true. Of course, God gave the mamlacha to David, but at the same time, we know from the Book of Kings that he also, it was a divinely endorsed schism to give power to Yeravam. That is totally absent in the book of Divrei Hayamim. In the early chapters of Divrei Hayamim, of chapter, you know, of the second book of Chronicles, there is no mention of Achia HaShiloni, of Achia from Shiloh, who gave legitimacy and endorsed the schism of Yeravam. That's absent from the book of Chronicles, both before and here. The presentation is that it is a totally illegitimate entity. Vayakam, and now he continues his speech. And again, notice the language, which ultimately is about zilzul, about debasing Yeravam. Vayakam Yeravam ben Nevat, Eved Shlomo ben David vayimrod al Adonav. Yeravam ben Nevat, who was a servant of Solomon, basically rebelled. Again, that's it. There is no mention of the prophet. There is no mention of God. Vayikavtzu alav anashim reikim b'nei Belial. And he gathered around him. They came around him, anashim reikim, which you could translate as people who are empty. People, b'nei Belial, scoundrels. Vayitamtzu al Rechavam ben Shlomo. And they came together and pressed Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, Urechavam. Now notice, he's talking about his father. And again, here in this presentation, there is no mention of the mistakes Rechavam made about saying that he would increase the taxes even more than his father. And the Avodah Zarah that Rechavam did. And all of the mistakes that Rechavam did. Instead, it's presented as a character flaw of Rechavam. Urechavam haya nar v'rach levav lo itchazak lifneihem. He happened to be weak. He was young and he was weak. My father, and again, this is also interesting. He's willing to throw, to use our terminology, to throw his father under the bus. He was a weak king. And so you were able to amass power. Now you want to be stronger than the mamlacha of God, which again is a striking term, a mamlacha of God. Yes, correct. It is the term that's used when David, when he was a bandit, that there are anashim pochazim v'reikim who come around him. That is correct. And again, it's a very negative term here. And again, notice the term. He says, you are attacking the mamlacha of Hashem. You're attacking the kingdom of God. That's a pretty strong statement. Va'atem hamon rav imachem eglei zahav. And you, what do you have? You have a terrible, you have a false religion. You've set up the calves. Asher asalachem yiravam le'elohim. Halo hidachtem et kohanei Hashem. You deposed the Kohanim, et bnei Aaron Alevim, v'tasu lachem Kohanim kamei aretz kol abalim alei yado b'parben bakar ve'elim shiva v'ya kohen lo Elohim. You created a kahuna without, that it's totally different than the Kohanei Hashem, the priests of God. Instead, you have these false priests. And again, from the perspective of the book of Chronicles, this is one of the worst things you can do, because it's, you undermine the centrality of the service and worship of God in Jerusalem. You undermine the centrality of the Kohanim and their service, which was so central. If you look in the book of Chronicles 1, it spends a number of chapters describing how David set up the entire infrastructure and bureaucracy in the Beit HaMikdash of the Kohanim and the Leviim and who got to serve and what they would do, etc. But we, says Aviyah, v'anachnu Hashem Elokeinu, we are part of God. V'lo azavanu, we didn't abandon him. V'cho'anim mishartim l'Hashem b'nei Aaron v'alevim v'amlechet. U'maktirim l'Hashem olot. We offer up the sacrifices. We are the loyal servants of God. Ki shomrim anachnu et mishmeret Hashem v'atem azavtem oto. You have abandoned God. V'inei imanu barosh Elohim v'cho'anav. And together with us is God at our head, which is probably is a subtle reference that probably they took the ark out into battle. We know that they often would take the ark out into battle, sometimes with disastrous results, like in the beginning of the book of Samuel. But on the other hand, the Bible does mention that if you do it, the Bible in, we say it every Shabbat. Vayhi bin so Aaron, vayomer Moshe, kum Adonai v'yafutzu oyvecha. Moses said when the ark was in transit, we say it when we open the ark and we take out the Sefer Torah in synagogue. Kum Hashem v'yafutzu oyvecha, God, arise God and scatter your enemies. So this is probably a reference here that they took the ark out into battle. God is in our head. God is at the Rosh. V'inei imanu barosh Elohim v'chonav. V'chatzotzrot ha'trua lari aleichem. And we have the chatzotzrot. We have the trumpets. Al tilachamu im Hashem lokeich ki lo tatzlichu. You're fighting against God. And the language here of the Chatzotzrot, of course, reminds us of the trumpets. On the one hand, reminds us, of course, of the statement in the book of Numbers. And in fact, let me put that up for a second. We go back. If you go to the book of Numbers and you go to the book to Bamidbar, chapter 10. If you go to the book of Numbers, chapter 10, where the Bible talks about the purpose of the trumpets, and it has a number of purposes, but one of the purposes the Bible says, "V'chitavo milchama ba'artzechem al hatzarat zoreretchem," when you go into battle against your enemy, "V'areotem b'chatzotzrot," you will blow v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem lokechem v'nirshantem mi'oyveichem. That's very strong language. If you're mentioning that we have the Chatzotzrot and the Kohanim and we're blowing the proper, we're doing what we're supposed to do, you are the Oivim, you are the enemies of God. And also, this takes its place later on in the book of Numbers, when the Jews went out into battle against the, where does it say this? And let's see if I can find it. Let me just see if I can find the Chatzotzrot here. Or maybe it's at the beginning. When they go out into battle against the Ammonites. Yes. So it says that Moses sent them into battle. He sent them out into battle with the Chatzotzrot, and they were, you know, successful against them. So there's a lot of echoing here of kind of the righteous battle that God had ordained, and you are fighting against God. That's what Avia, who gives this lengthy speech, it is presented, and he continues in that way. And not only that, the Bible then continues after his speech is finished. Also, it says, "Al tilachamu im Hashem eloki lo tatzlichu." Of course, also reminds us of the language in the Bible when the Jews decide that they're going to. After they're told that they're not going to be able to go into the land of Israel, and Moses says to them, if we turn back, and Moses says to them in the book of Numbers, when they want to continue, and what we call today the Ma'apilim, the people who fought, without God's permission, they went up anyway against God. So the Bible has that interesting presentation, and it says the next day they got up to fight, and they said, "Hinenu va'alinu, we will go up." Why do you violate? Al ta'alu, ki ein Hashem bekir bechem, God is not with you. And the Bible makes it very clear. Aron brit Hashem u'Moshe lo mashu. They never moved from the camp. So here, when we come back to the book of Divrei Hayamim, it's clear that you have the allusions here to that situation where he's saying, Aviam is saying to them, look, God is with us, meaning the ark is with us. Hine imanu barosh Elohim v'chohanav, his kohanim, his priests. The Chatzotzrot are with us. Al tilachamu im Hashem, don't fight with God. Ki lo tatzlichu, you won't be successful, just like the Ma'apilim who are massacred. End of the speech. Now the Bible tells us what actually happened in this battle. So Yeravam had set up the ambush. So they were surrounded. Judah was surrounded by the 800,000. They had a two front war, from behind and from in the front. They cried out to God, and the Kohanim blew on the Chatzotzrot. So exactly the way the Bible describes what is the ideal way of calling out to God is exactly what the book of Chronicles presents, meaning it presents Aviah and the Judeans in a very positive light. Vayariu, they blasted on the horns. Vayibariah ish Yudah, Elohim nagafet Yeravam, v'chol Yisrael lifnei Aviv Yudah. And it happened that God, when they would blow the shofar, the chatzotzrot, they blew the trumpets, they were successful. And God smote Yeravam and all of Israel before Aviah. Vayanusu b'nei Yisrael mipnei Yudah. And they ran away. Vaitneim Elohim biyadam. Vayakubahem Aviah ve'amo. They slaughtered them. Makah rabah. Vayiplu chalalim Yisrael chamesh meod elef bashkur. Again, even if it's exaggerated, the language is so powerful. It says that they basically killed 500,000 of them. I mean, talk about civil war. Vayikan'u b'nei Yisrael b'etahit. Vayamsu b'nei Yudah ki nish'anu al Hashem Elokei Avotem. And they were successful because they relied on God. Not only do they chase after them, they capture, they move the border to Beit El. So Judah expands its territory and the northern border is moved up 10 or 12 miles. And they capture this territory. And he was not successful at all against the rest of what happened. So you have a very interesting picture that the Bible paints in contrast to what we had in the book of Kings, which is presents Aviah in a very negative light, because from the criterion of the book of Kings, all he did was Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, allowed Avodah Zarah, allowed idolatry. And from that perspective, he's not successful from the criterion of the book of Kings. But from the criterion of the book of Divrei HaYamim, he is, first of all, because he's from the Davidic line, he already gets like a 20-point curve, because the Davidic line is the hero of the book of Chronicles, because the whole point is it's written during the time of Shivat Zion. It's written during the time when the Jews are returning after Cyrus allows them to return to the land of Israel, and the goal is to restore the Davidic dynasty. So you're going to play up the Davidic dynasty. There's no mention of the sins of David. There's no mentions of David and Bathsheba. There's no mention of the sins of Solomon in the book of Chronicles. There's no mention. All that's mentioned is the glory of David and Solomon building the temple and preparing the temple and the glory of restoring the temple, because that's the agenda of the book of Chronicles. And here we see a great example of that. Aviah is a very negative character in the book of Malachim. He's a very positive character in the book of Chronicles. He's presented as, you know, a warrior in the eyes of the Lord. He makes sure to support the Kohanim who are working in the Beit HaMikdash in the temple and doing all the positive things. Okay, now let's go back to our study of the book of Kings and see how we now continue further after Aviah to his son. Because again, in the book of Kings, Aviah and Rehoboam are very negative. But now we're up to the, so to speak, we're up to the great grandson of Solomon, and that's verse 9 in chapter 15. And so the Bible tells us, "Ubishnat esrim liyuravam melech Yisrael malach asa al Yehuda." In the 20th year of Yeravam, very close to the end of the reign of Yeravam, so Asa is the king of Judah. Va'arba'im va'achat shana malach Yerushalayim, v'shem imo ma'acha bat Avishalom. Vayas asa hayashar b'nei Hashem ki David avi. For the first time, we have a king since the time of Solomon in the Judean territory who's presented as a positive role model. Vayavera k'deishim min ha'aretz. He got rid of the sacred prostitutes. Vayasaret kol ha'giluim asher asu avotav. He gets rid of all of the avodah zarah. And so from the perspective of the book of Kings, this guy is a good guy. This guy is an ideal guy. The gamet ma'acha imo, he even gets rid of his mother, vayisirea mikvira. He removes her from the status of kind of queen mother, the Gvira. She was kind of a queen mother. Because she had made Avodah Zarah, she astam mifletzet la'asherah, she had made some sort of a mifletzet. Now in modern Hebrew, mifletzet means a monster. But in biblical Hebrew, it probably means some sort of statue. She had made some sort of statue. Vayichrot asat mifletzta vayisrof benachal kidron. Vabamot lo saru rak levav asaya shalim im Hashem. Meaning, as much as he was trying to get rid, the one thing he was not able to be successful again was the bamot. But from the perspective of the book of Kings, Asa is an amazing figure. Now, and in this context, he is, you know, very, very positive. Now, again, if we look, so the text now continues and tells us that he restored Vayavei et Kodshei, verse 15. Vayavei et Kodshei Aviv et Kodshei Beit Hashem Kesev Zahav V'Chelim. He brings out many of the things that had been set aside. Kodshei Beit Aviv et Kodshei Beit Hashem Kesev Zahav V'Chelim. And he brings them back to the Beit, probably to the Beit HaMikdash. And the Bible then goes into detail and tells us, "Umilchamaita bein Asa bein Basha Melech Yisrael." So during the interim, the Bible basically is hinting to us that Yeravam has died and he has a son named Basha. And here too, the civil war continues. So we've already had, this is the third generation of civil war during the time Yeravam and Rechavam, Yeravam and Aviam, and now Asa and Basha. Basha, the son of Yeravam, who we're going to learn about more at the end. And the Bible tells us, Vayal Basha Melech Yisrael Yudava, even at Taramal of Yiltitet Yotzeu Bala, Asa Melech Yudai, basically builds a wall so that there would be no, it's like the Berlin Wall. It's to keep people out so that they wouldn't. You remember, probably there was a continued trickle of people from the north who continued to try to get to Jerusalem because they still connected their religious life to Jerusalem. Maybe there were also people who wanted to go back, especially if the debacle in the time of, you know, Yeravam, if in fact they were not successful, and in fact, maybe they were defections. And so he builds a wall to make a total separation between the north and the south, and that his citizens cannot go back down to the south. So that's number one. He's also trying to reclaim the territory. He's trying to reclaim the territory that may have been won in the battle between the father of Asa, Aviah, and Yeravam. Remember, the Bible said that he got all the way up to Beit El and captured those cities. Maybe this was an attempt to kind of say, no more. This was a protection. There would be no more battles. So that's number one. Number two, the Bible introduces something here, which is a radical new element, which will have long lasting effects, both positive and negative. For the first time, the Bible tells us in the, I don't know, how many years already has this schism been around? 60, 70 years. For the first time, they turn to external countries to get involved in the internal disputes of the Israelite people. And so the Bible tells us, Vayal Bashab Melech Yisrael, verse 17, Melech Yisrael Yudah, Vayiven et Haramal Vilti Teit Yitzeh Ubala Asa Melech Yudah. Vayikach Asa et Kol HaKesev Zav HaNotarim Beotzrot Beit Hashem, Vetotzrot Beit HaMelech, Vayitnem biyad avadav, vayishalchem ha-melech asa el ben hadad, ben tavrimon, ben chazion, melech aram. Hayoshev b'damesek leimor. He turns to the Aramites in Damesek, Syria. At that time, one of the major powers in the book, in the Middle East is the Arameans. Remember, there are no Assyrians yet. Assyria is a small, little local power. It's not a hegemonic empire yet. It's going to be another, more than 100 years before anything like that is on the horizon. Aram is one of the major powers in the area. There's two or three Arams. There's Aram Damesek and Aram Tsaraim, etc. But this is a new statement to bring in foreign powers. And he says, "Brit beinu beinecho, bein aviu bein avicha, hinei shalachti lecha shochad kesef v'zahav." I think the use of that term, shochad, is of course, as we know, not a positive thing. Right? He's presenting it as, I'm paying you to be my mercenary, to help me against the northern tribe. So basically you can squeeze the north from the north coming down and from the south coming up. So basically it's like a pincer move where you put them in a vise. You put the north in a vise. Brit Beni. Vayishma ben Hadad et el hamelech asa, vayishlach et tzarei hachalim ha-shalo al arei Yisrael, vayach et iyun ve et dan ve et avel, ve et kol kinrot al kol eretz naftali. So basically, he's successful. Vayhi kishmoa basha vayachdal mivnot ramah vayeshev betirtza. So basically, he's successful. So from the perspective of the Book of Kings, he's successful in terms of warding off the initiative of Basha and basically stopping the plan to build the new Berlin Wall. And so the Bible actually tells us that he takes the stones from this project. He decides to use it to build other parts of infrastructure. All of the things that he did are mentioned there. Rakla eight ziknato chalat raglav. He got sick. Vayishkav asai mavutav. Vayikaveri mavutav biir David aviv. Vayimloch Yehoshafat benotachtav. So the Bible again has a very, very positive picture of Asa. It's interesting that in the book, once again, if I bring up, and just this is just for interesting sake, if I bring up Divrei Hayamim, if I bring up the Chronicles, and you go to the Chronicles, the way the chronicler presents Asa, again, very positive, Vayas Asa Tova Yashar Ben Hashem Lukav. And not only does he get rid of Avodah Zarah, but he's very positive. The picture in Divrei Hayamim, Vayomer Liyuda Lidrosh Et Hashem, to seek God, Chronicles 2, chapter 14. He gets rid of all the Avodah Zarah. He builds cities and he does all these things. And again, because they did this. In addition, it tells us, again, without getting into too many details, it has a little story here where he's successful against the Cushites, the Ethiopians. So he's successful against the south, and he's able to be, etc. And then in chapter 15, the Bible presents that Asa actually leads a religious revival. Again, not mentioned here in the Book of Kings. The Yamim Rabim in Divrei Yamim Bed in Chronicles 2, chapter 15. The Yamim Rabim Lisrael Lo Eloheim Met Lo Koin Moral Lo Torah. There were many, many years. Again, ostensibly during the time of Rechavam and during the time of Avia, where they were bereft of true God and true leadership. And now they, so to speak, they return to God. And he destroys all the Avodah Zarah. And listen to what he does. He gathers together in verse 9. Vayikbots et kol Yudah b'Yamin, v'agarim mahem, me'efraim v'nasher mishimon. Notice there were people from the north who had defected to the south. Vayikabtsu Yerushalayim b'chodesh ha'shlishi. He gathers together the people in the third month. The third month is what we call Sivan. Lishnat chamesh esrei l'malchut asa. Vayizbechul Hashem yomu min ha'shalal leviyu. Bakar, sheva me'ot v'tzon. Vayavou babrit. He gathers them and he makes a covenant with God. This is, as far as I know, and this is one of the only, this is the earliest mention of a covenant ceremony to connect to God in the third month, which is very interesting, right? One of the interesting issues we always talk about on Shavuot is the fact that on Shavuot, on the holiday of Shavuot, is that the Bible never identifies Shavuot as Chag Matan Torah. The Bible never connects what we call Shavuot with the giving of the Torah. It's true that in the Bible, the giving of the Torah occurs in the third month. It's true that the rabbis connect it, but there is no statement. This is the earliest mention in Tanakh of any association of the third month with some sort of covenant ceremony. Very, very interesting. And again, does it reflect some sort of ancient tradition that, yeah, the third month was the perfect month to have a covenant ceremony because you were reconnecting to the past when you had covenant ceremony in the third month? And is this the kind of the beginning of what eventually becomes the rabbinic understanding that, you know, what we call Yom HaBikurim, which was the 50th day after the Chag of bringing the Omer, is to be identified with the day of the giving of the Torah? Because again, it never says it explicitly. Again, it's just interesting. So when we come to the end of Malachim Aleph, Perek, Malachim, Kings 1, chapter 15. The final section of this chapter tells us about the child of Yeravam. And again, the child of Yeravam, but it tells us that in effect, this child of Yeravam is the last, okay? And Basha turns out to be not from Yeravam, but actually turns out to be a usurper. V'nadav ben Yeravam, verse 25. V'nadav ben Yeravam malach Yisrael b'shnat shtaim la'asam melech Yudah. V'yimloch Yisrael shnataim. He was only king for 2 years. V'yasar ha'bnei Hashem. V'yelech b'derech aviv. V'yikshor lav Basha ben Achia l'beit Yisachar. Turns out that Basha was from Yisachar, from one of the northern tribes, but not from the, not from the house of Yeravam. Not from the house of Yeravam. Yeravam was from Beit Yosef. He was from Ephraim. He was from the main line of the northern tribes. Vayakel Basha b'givton asher l'plishtim. V'nadav v'chol Yisrael tzarim al givton. Vayimiteu Basha b'shnat shalosh l'asam el yudav v'imlok tachtav. Vayihi kimolcho. When Basha took over, he exterminates all of the descendants of Yeravam. Vayihi kimalcho hikat kol beit Yeravam lo yishir kol neshama l'Yeravam al yishmino ki dvar Hashem asher diber b'yad avdo achiyah shon. I need to fulfill the prophecy of Achiyah. Al chatot Yeravam asher chata v'asher ichtia Yisrael b'kaso asher ichiset Hashem al Yisrael. Because of all the sins of Yeravam that he did. V'yeter divrei nadav v'chol asher asa lo mituvim al sefer Yeravam l'malchei Yisrael, which we don't have. The chronicles of the book of Malchei Yisrael we don't have anymore because they disappeared. And so it was lost to history. Umilchama aita bein Asa ubein Basha melech Yisrael kol ayamim. And there was a battle all the days. And again, as I said, the book of Chronicles describes, you know, some of those battles. And this is the description. And it ends, of course, with the description of verse 33-34. Bishnat shalosh la'asam melech Yehuda malach masha ben achi al kol Yisrael betirza 24 shanah, 24 years. Vayasar ben Hashem vayelch b'derech Yeravam. So unfortunately, Basha continues in the ways of Yeravam, which means that he's also going to end up with the same reality as Yeravam. So again, we see the ongoing civil war. What's going to be interesting is that when we get to the next chapter, civil war is going to end. And not only will the civil war end with the end of Basha, but actually there will be shituf pe'ula. There will actually be interaction and comedy and and interaction between the northern and the southern tribes, which reflects a new, you know, so to speak, a new vista, which will, for the next, you know, so to speak, the next house and the next few decades, which will eventually lead us to the Achav and Eliyahu narratives. But we're not there yet. Okay, next week, I cannot give the shiur next week. I have to do parent-teachers conferences till like 9:30 for SAR. I'm, you know, on Zoom, so I'm not going to be able to teach. So next week you have a break, and then we'll continue. We'll have two shiurim before Pesach, and then we'll continue in our march in the book of Kings after Pesach as well, until wherever we go. We'll see till when we go this year. Okay. Have a wonderful, we'll send out an email also about it. Have a wonderful evening, and kol tov, everybody. Shabbat shalom.